Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 147 to be specific, on page 508. Let us hear our Lord's word this morning. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for his strength strengthens the bar of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. And then our New Testament lesson from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 on Pew Bible page 948. Let us hear his word for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this word that would light our path and guide our hearts, that would guide us and lead us to be your people, to serve you faithfully in this world, living for the next. Be with us and guide us, O Lord. May your word move within our hearts and minds today and tomorrow and all the days to come. Amen. Merry Christmas! It feels a little weird saying that at this point of the year, but again, today is the last day of Christmas. And tomorrow, well, that's when Epiphany starts. But for now, we'll be in Christmas. Now, it's always weird as we end Christmas because it's almost as if we leap right into the next steps down the road of Lent and then Easter. And we really just celebrated Christ's birth. So as we wander through the end of Christmas, let's take a look and reflect, as we tend to do this time of year. I don't know if any of you got your year in review on this, that, or any other app on your phone. But we'll do a life in review with Christ, as that's what Ephesians does. As we listen to it, we hear why we are here. We understand that there is the will of God listed for us, the purpose of God in us, the blessedness and blessings of God. There's a lot happening in this Ephesians passage. When I was a kid, the big thing to do was when you had a big reading or you wanted to navigate something, you'd get Cliff Notes, right? I don't know if any of you still have Cliff Notes, if they still are a thing, or if there's an app or a website for that. But the reality is it helped you to navigate, and really Ephesians here helps us to navigate all the laundry list of things that God has done and is doing with us and through us. In a lot of ways, as Paul rattles off all the things that are happening, it's like when you get a child on a family phone call who decides that they are going to list off, just for all the family to know, all of their presents that they got, even to the lowest of low. I got a candy cane in my stocking. How many of you have been on those phone calls? How many of you have been that person on the phone call? Now, Paul hits a point, though, where he transitions from that list of all that God has done for us and all that God is doing for us and in us and through us. Now, Paul isn't done with God when he transitions, but he shifts to why we are here, why God has called us, why we are adopted, why we have redemption, forgiveness, all of this, why this happens. We have more of a statement of purpose, our goal, so to speak, our reason. Our reason for living and being. There's that statement that Paul makes. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Not just me, not just you, but we have. And we are purposed to live for the praise of His glory. That's why we are here. Now that purpose and the preface leading up to it gives us an engagement of two things. The first is that we, that it's not just us, that it is the we around us, that we are all called, that we are all here. Now, it's a problematic term. It's a troublesome term as we talk about it. Now, back then, the troublesome part was the Jew and the Gentile conversation. But then it morphs. It moves on, and it becomes the Roman barbarian question. It becomes all of these different groups, the insides and outsides, those who are in the community and those who are outside. It is a constant flux for us of who that we is and expanding who that is. And guess what? It's not as small as we ever want it to be. It's a stretching thing, stretching like dough. The more and more it stretches, the bigger and bigger it gets, and yet it still, like dough, wants to get back to that smaller shape. It's hard. It's hard to get stretched. It's hard to be like the dough. But the reminder for us is that this we is our neighbor. It's the person beside us here. It's all that world outside of us. whether we like it or not. But then we lead into that last part, that purpose. That when I was going to college and studying teaching, having a purpose statement was really important. And before you began a lesson plan, you had to begin them all with this statement. We called it the learner will statement. And they all started the same. The learner will. Now, I realized that we were shooting for the moon and saying that all the kids in the class were going to reach that end goal that we had. But, you know, if you're not going to shoot for the moon, how are you going to hit the stars? So we would write those lessons plans, and here God set his lesson plan for us. That purpose, that learner will statement, the church of God will exist so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. That's why we're here. That's why we are the church, not for our glory, but for his. Now, over the last year, I've had something in my head constantly. I would say look up, but you can't see it if you look up because the ceiling's in the way. I've been thinking a lot about the steeple. I don't know why. But be it the early conversations about the cell tower, preserving the visual of the steeple as you come out on 209, and then it became the whole repair, restructure, all of that over the last year. And as I listened and looked, it really hit me on Christmas Eve as I got ready to send my picture to my siblings about the luminaria. There's a whole long story about my mom unsuccessfully doing luminaria for about 10 years. And I realized what that cross is, what that steeple is. It's a bat signal, if you will. It both shows where there is a church, that there is a church there. But it always draws our eyes up. It draws our attention towards that point, that cross. It draws our eyes to God's glory. Think about it. If you look at that steeple straight on, if you look at it from that angle or whatever angle you choose, you see nothing but the cross and glory behind it. Think about that. You see God's glory as you look at it. Now, I realize there's been conversations about a spire or a steeple or a rooster. But as you look at it, it points to God's glory. Now, we are like that steeple. We point to God's glory. Our lives point to that greater glory. How we live, how we are, all points like that spire to the glory that is beyond us. We point to something more than just ourselves. And so, let me encourage you this year. We've got a whole lot more days in this year. Let us live into being like that spire, being like that cross at the top of the steeple, living, as Scripture said, as ambassadors to Christ, ambassadors to the God we serve, as a beacon of light and hope for our world and for God's glory. Amen.